Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, Monday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Welcome aboard. We're glad you're with us. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio. Here in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, just started raining, but we're inside, so we don't care. All right, former football player Collins Hess on the show a little later. Peter Bain, the new director of the To the Top Collective, is going to be joining us here in just a second. Before we get going, though, we want to thank our good friends at Southern Bancorp for sponsoring the studio and Dickie's Barbecue Pit for sponsoring the first segment of today's program, a great place to take your family for a wonderful meal. And I do want to thank our listeners as well. I got word this morning from our headquarters in Jackson that the Eagle Hour is on pace to bust the all-time monthly record for podcast downloads in the month of June. It looks like that we may be close to 11,000 downloads in 4 weeks here at the end of the month, and we really appreciate people from everywhere. We're told that it's really coming from everywhere, and we're really grateful to people for that.
And Bob Dima Mixon, our newest member of the family here, thinks that that he deserves a raise because of those great numbers.
Yeah, I think already it's probably exactly because of it. Dima did tell me he was a podcast listener before he came here. So
and you made fun of my shorts, the color of my shorts today, when his shirt is almost exactly the same color.
But it's a shirt, Kelly, not shorts.
Correct, it's a shirt.
It's summertime, baby.
And he's 21, not your age, Kelly.
So I guess colors are age appropriate, huh?
Well, those colors, I don't know what they'd be appropriate for us. This is a family show. I'm not gonna get into any political.
Fair enough.
All right, we've got Peter Bain with us, and he is the new director of the To the Top Collective. And Peter, first of all, congratulations, because we visited last week, and you told me that you took this new gig on full time here recently, and congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it. It's I've been acting as the director, I guess, of the collective since the start of 2023, but really jumped in with both feet here the beginning of this month, and it's been great so far. I haven't had any problems filling up the calendar with people to see, people to talk to, people to meet with, and keeping the train rolling.
All right. I guess most people that listen to our program already understand this, but, you know, maybe not. So, in a nutshell, explain to our listening audience what is the collective, how it functions, and what its purpose is, Peter.
Yeah, so very basically, we're simply just a agency that represents the student athletes. We have rights to the student athletes that are collective athletes, an agency just like an ad agency. That's going to use the student athletes and their social media followings and our social media following together to help function a high level of product for Southern Miss athletes. We want to grow opportunities for them in the community. Name, image, and likeness is something that isn't going away, is how college athletes are going to get paid moving forward. And we want to be able to grow the brand of a student athlete at Southern Miss through their name, image, and likeness, using their platform and growing those opportunities. Being a part of it, joining as a member, is helping absolutely in every way, shape, or form, just like joining any club or anything that the university has to offer. This is another entity that is a direct return and reflection off of the fan base and community that we have that helps grow our student athletes and their name, image, and likeness.
I think it's fair to say that NIL is a controversy surrounding college athletics. What is the general reaction you get to this?
Yeah, the biggest general reaction, I guess, from an NIL standpoint is what are they doing, right? Because it's not pay for play. that's one thing that the NCAA has made very clear, is that no one's going to be compensated. They're going to remain amateurs at the field of play. And I think, you know, all in all, we can agree on that, right? We don't want to get in a situation where we're just watching another pro sport where you have holdouts and people not going to camp because they didn't get the contract they wanted. And this is all separate, above and beyond what they're doing on the field of play, right? So I think the biggest general conception is, well, what are they doing? What are the athletes doing? And for the better part of last year, it was a lot of just collective advertisement, right? Being that I'm doing this full time now, I'm actively looking for partners and companies that want to invest in the student athletes at Southern Miss and be able to grow their business through them, right? So, you know, you might ask, well, what does my money go to if I'm just giving $25 a month or $17 a month to be a member of the collective? That's the work that I'm creating for the student athlete, getting them involved in the community, getting them in our schools to create young Golden Eagle fans and get those kids at the elementary level involved with a Division I athlete, and being able to pay them for it. When I was playing here, that was something we would love to do and very much so did for free when a group asked us to go read to a class. Seeing that as an opportunity now to monetize for that kid to be able to be a platform and be an example for mm-hmm. all the young kids around the Hattiesburg area, that's something I think is definitely worth investing
in. So to clarify this, did I hear you say this? The NIL money, students or student athletes are not being paid to play. They're being paid for other things they do outside of the playing field.
That's correct. Yeah, you can't claim NIL money based on any kind of on-field performance. There's metrics that we use for roster values and market values in terms of a player's following, social media following, how much a post is worth to them based on how many followers they have. And I know it sounds crazy and it sounds like a different language in some aspects, but if you think of it like this, whereas 10, 15, 20 years ago, people were walking around selling advertisements for a magazine or a newspaper, those magazines and newspapers now exist in the palm of your hand on a feed that a player has that they're publicizing those ads for us.
And this is a contractual agreement, right, Peter? The athletes have to sign up to be a member of the collective. Does the athlete have the option to say, no, I don't want to be in the collective?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know why they would, but I'm just saying they have that option.
Right, yeah, absolutely. It is a contractual agreement. We do most all of our contracts for the student athletes are on a semester basis. That gives us the entire semester to evaluate them and their work ethic, how they perform for the collective, right? The work involved, the appearances, being present, being able to be, getting them out of their comfort zone to do something and grow as a professional, that type of development that the field of play doesn't provide.
Now, and I hear what you're saying about the athletes are not compensated based on their play on the field, but you know, a lot of highly resourced universities will kind of wink as they say to the athlete, this has nothing to do with how well you're playing on the field. I mean, how is that going to be enforced? Because to me, with all due respect to everyone, that's kind of a joke.
Yeah, I think for the most part, obviously a name, image, and likeness value to a kid that is starting versus not has a very much effect, and that's why we look at, you know, roster value and things. I'm sure most of you might be familiar with the House settlement, the House versus NCAA, where schools are now going to have the opportunity to pay directly and opt in, as they say, to pay, which that'll come, it is going to be very interesting to see how the NCAA navigates to maintain the amateurism of the athlete and all of the payment that is being done to the athlete be from a promotional or advertisement just based on their name, image, and likeness.
Both Will Hall and Jeremy McClain, if I'm not mistaken, and Demon Bob sent me, because I certainly want to be correct, but I recall both of them on this show saying that if you had to choose as a Southern Miss fan, either giving to the Eagle Club or giving to the collective. They both thought that giving to the collective should be where your contributions should start. And you made a really good argument that it is a good place to start because the Eagle Club would benefit from any on-field success regardless of the sport, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. The university's success is going to be indicative of how many people are in the stands. If there's a good product on the field, there's going to be more people in the stands. How do we get better product on the field? Well, we have a good collective. We have a good NIL fund that creates a lot of opportunities for athletes to want to come here and play here. And it allows us to be able to retain all of our top athletes that make up the core of our teams.
Peter Payne is the director of the To the Top Collective. We're going to get Dima involved in the conversation, have more with Peter as we discuss this subject that really is the new reality of college athletics. We'll have that conversation when we come back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back to the show. We're talking to Peter Bain, director of the To the Top Collective. We're going to continue that conversation here in just a second. Want to thank Campus Bookmart, Campus Bookmart, for all they do for the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Great supporters of ours and a great place to buy all your Southern Miss swag. Also want to thank Genesis of Hattiesburg. That's the official auto dealer of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Their sedans and SUVs are the finest on the road today. You can visit their brand new state-of-the-art showroom, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. That's an organization that does an awful lot for Southern Miss Athletics. Genesis of Hattiesburg, Matt Grubbs, Hyundai, great, great people to be partnered with. Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. And again, we appreciate so many of you catching on to that. Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can tell Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. This very show will be on all of those platforms within an hour at the conclusion today, and we thank you all for listening. All right, Dima, get in here with Peter Bain, director of the To the Top Collective.
Yeah, so I guess like overall, I think, you know, we have a lot of listeners on this show, and a lot of people, I would say now, have understood what the NIL is, what, you know, what it is, and how accountability, financial accountability, and all that stuff goes. But can you just describe, so for older, I just know there's so many people who are so misaligned with what it does, and I think you're explaining it pretty well. But just talk about some of the financial accountability when somebody, you know, I got a quarter in my pocket right now. You know, if I donated this quarter, you know, where would that money go? You know, how would it be assessed to the players and allocated in that general sense?
Yeah, so just more or less a broader overview of how that would look. Let's say, you know, now that we've gotten about 2 years under our belt, we can have a better, more grasp on the data around each budget for each team. We can look at some overhead of where we need to invest and be better as a collective to help grow our brand and grow our agency. So 15% of that dollar is going to go back to the collective, even if it's designated to a certain sport. 85% of it's going to go to that sport, 15% of it's going to go towards overhead to the collective, right? If you're giving fully to the collective, we distribute that on a percentage based on which each budget for each team is going to need. But again, being a part of the collective and being a member that gives on a monthly basis and you're donating it to the collective, you're empowering the growth of this company to grow and reach more Southern Miss fans, to grow the agency as a whole. And it gives you things that, you know, very different from, you know, the Eagle Club or anything else can provide you with priority points and status within the university. You know, being a part of the collective, I'm able to offer you members only exclusive events where you get to meet some of the players and have that kind of exclusive fan experience that you may otherwise not get from the Eagle Club or just being a fan, being a part of this collective, this agency that represents the student athletes, gets you kind of an up close exclusive access look into being a Southern Miss fan.
And so many people, you know, before they donate, you know, $17 a month or even the highest one, which I think is $50,000, you know, they're like, I want to see the results of it before I invest. What do you think is the biggest just result you've seen from it? What's your biggest success as a collective?
The biggest success as a collective that I've seen is just the outpouring support that we've gotten from Eastern Energy Services. And I'm going to use them as an example because they're our biggest donor up to this point to help us establish a budget for our teams, help us realize that we've got to separate ourselves. We've got to put ourselves in a position that allows us to continue to grow and recruit and retain our top athletes. So the biggest success for me was being able to grow off of that versus having to grow completely grassroots like a lot of our peers in the Sun Belt are having to do, where they don't have someone that has bought in and a company like Eastern Energy that's bought into what this is and what it means for us to allow us to remain competitive in this new age of college athletics.
So, Peter, I think you explained it to me this way. If it wasn't you, I apologize. It was someone else. And they indicated, we're not trying to raise money thinking that we're going to go buy athletes off of Ohio State's football team. We're trying to protect the athletes that we have here. We're trying to create an environment here where we don't lose our athletes to other schools. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah, that's very accurate, Bob. I mean, to think that we could get to a point where we could go poach and buy players off of another roster is something we can dream about, right? But making sure that when we bring in young talent and develop and grow young talent, we're able to keep that young talent here to turn it into older talent, right? That's kind of indicative of the gut punch that everybody felt when that pitcher that we had a couple years ago left to go.
We forget his name.
Yeah, I forgot who he was, but I know he left for a payday, and that didn't make sense to a lot of people. And, you know, since then, Bob, we've been in a really good position that we have folks that are invested in our culture. That's something you can't buy. You can't make a kid happy with just money these days.
Right.
Obviously, that makes a lot of decisions for some people. But at the same time, if you've got a good culture, they're the big man on campus or big girl on campus already, why would they need to go look for something else if we've got resources here for them that can?
Yeah. So it's clear how businesses can benefit because then they, you know, they can have events, they can have marketing involving athletes. But how important would it be if you could get a message out to the average fan and you could get the majority of Southern Miss fans to just donate that minimum $17 a month?
Oh, it'd be huge. It would be extremely impactful because when you look at the Sun Belt and you look at the teams around us and our peers, we have what's something that they don't. We have a wonderful tradition of excellence. We have a wonderful tradition of 100 years of athletics, 100 plus years of athletics, lineage of fans where babies are brought home in the black and gold. There's a lot of schools in our conference that didn't even have football 10 years ago. So for us to be able to really separate ourselves and really take advantage of this whole new model and having an impact on the teams that we're able to watch perform on the field of play, being a member of the collective is something that a lot of schools around us and that we compete against is not a model they can use. So giving that minimum, $17 a month, $200 a year, being a part of the exclusive only membership events and being a part of the collective is something that is going to continue to keep us above and beyond our competition because of that passionate fan base that we have.
How realistic is it to retain players such as the pitcher you just mentioned, or you know whoever else it is? If Southern Miss brings in a freshman, and you know Florida, Georgia, whoever, $3 million if you come to school here. You know, how realistic is that for y'all to deflect that almost?
Well, I think realistically, let's look at Austin Crowley. He stayed. Jason Brownlee, he stayed. Frank Gore Jr., he stayed. Slade Wilkes, he stayed. Tanner Hall, he stayed. Dustin Dickerson, he stayed. Realistically, we have retained the people that we've wanted to keep here. I'm not saying by any means that those kids could have gotten more money. I know for a fact a lot of them could have gotten more money going to play somewhere else. That would have required them to start over, move away further from their family if they weren't from around this area, start over their legacy, right? And a lot of people, when you get to that point where you have a big year and you could make bank on it, you know, there's enough data out there now that tells us teams that transfer up, kids that transfer up for 1 year of eligibility left never make it. Yep. So they're basically putting all their eggs into that $100,000 check from an SEC school to go, and that'd be it. That would be the accumulation of all the hard work and talent that they've had when they could stay here, build a legacy, be able to take their kids back to a game knowing that they were an impact to that fan base, knowing they would be celebrated, versus going somewhere and having to start over and do that all again in 1 year's time.
Yeah, and I think that's the important like correlation between, because I know a lot of people that I talk to think about NIL, they think we're going to, you know, Southern Miss is going to go buy some player off of whoever, but it's really about what you're saying about those players, such as Austin Crowley, Frank Gore Jr., Slade Wilkes, whoever, Tanner Hall, about keeping those players. And that also, not only with the To the Top collective, and Mr. Bob, you know this, but also just the Southern Miss spirit, you know, just wanting to stay here and play. And I think the message for sure is the statistics say that if you transfer up, you know, you're generally not going to be able to, I think Will Hall told me, if you transfer up to a school, less than 90% of those teams even get on an NFL roster.
Yeah. Yeah, it's and we've proven that you have just the same amount of opportunity to do all those things, play at the pro level, coming through here, right here where you are. So that's our motto. The motto in the collective to all the players is the grass is green where you water it. So let's just keep watering the grass here in Hattiesburg.
All right, Peter, real quick, how can people find out more about the collective?
ToTheTopCollective.com. Join now. You can there's an info tab in there to email me, ask me any questions. If you're a business that wants to get involved and use the student athletes, reach out to me directly. I'm easily accessible through that website. ToTheTopCollective.com is the way to do it. So
well, you can reach a lot of Southern Miss people on this show. We're gonna have you back soon.
Oh, thanks, Bob. Appreciate
right, Peter
it.
Peter Bain. We'll be right back, everybody.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Well, our thanks to Peter Bain for joining us, filling us in on the latest To the Top Collective first half hour of the show. This segment of the show is sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill, where you can get a great lunch. You can also catch your next Southern Miss athletic event on TV, and you can hang out with your buddies. 4th Street Bar and Grill, right there in the shadow of the rock. Also want to thank Mobe Beignet Company, the official beignet store of the Eagle Hour, 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. You can check them out on their Facebook page and their website. Best thing to do is go down there and just order some good beignets. Don't forget the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast on TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, Audible, Apple, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
If you go to 4th Street Bar and Grill today, you will be able to see Kelly Sanders in his peach pants.
Yeah, I didn't even want to talk about Kelly Sander and Peach Pants. Collins Hess played football from 82 to 86. And Collins, I guess it's safe to say you never saw a football player wearing an outfit like that.
I actually think it looks pretty good. So
do you really?
And being that I'm staying at his house, I
then you
got to
you got
to
say that. Well, we've seen him in worse, but this is probably as questionable as anything we've seen as of. Collins, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Glad you're the guy here. That so famously, I think there's a picture of it maybe at 4th Street that busted Bo Jackson to the ground, and he was whimpering, I understand, after he hit him.
When he got up after I tackled him, there was a little itty-bitty tear in his eye, and I just pulled up my white shirt, and I wiped it a little. I patted him on the butt and said, just take a breather. You'll be okay. Breathe. And
he didn't want to come back in the game anymore, did he?
He came back. He only ran for 200-plus yards that game.
But you got the tackle.
But I did get the tackle. Actually, it's a pretty close game. Ducksworth got hurt in the second quarter, and we were, I think, up 6-3, doing pretty good, and Duck was running all over him.
Now, you played for Big Nasty, Jim Carmody, from 1982 to 1986. And, of course, back then, it was Metro Conference basketball, but there was no Metro Conference football. And really, when you look at – there's always talk about, well, are the glory days ever going to come back? And, of course, you were one of the original members of the Nasty Bunch. But back then when you were playing, there really was no South Al football. And Troy, although it had a team. Anyway, the football landscape, Collins, has changed a lot since 1986.
It's changed a lot. The competition is more fierce for recruits. You have more places to go to. Southern Miss – the only independents were Southern Miss, Tulane, Memphis, East Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia Tech, Louisville. If you, quote, call that the area.
Notre Dame.
Right? Notre Dame. But, we're talking Southeast include Louisville in the Southeast. But, no, you're right. And now you have three in Alabama with, UNA, Jack State, Troy, South Al. So that's four. That's four more universities within 300 miles, not including the Louisiana teams.
West Al.
West, are they D1 now?
D2.
But yeah. So competition is higher for recruits for sure.
Yeah, just talk about that and what that, how much of a difference that is, just having all of those campuses so close. I mean, it is crazy when you think about how many, even Jacksonville State now, just east of Birmingham.
And really, you used to be able to go into the panhandle of Florida, Collins, and the Eagles would get everybody, and that's not necessarily the case now.
Yeah, I think Southern Miss made their money in Alabama, of course Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama, and the panhandle of Florida. And you didn't have to go that far. Kind of double-edged sword, recruiting was more difficult because you don't have all the ability you do now with the internet. Like you said, kids are sending in their videos to the coaches. And you could just go right online and get all the video you want and all the information you need. So it's a little bit easier to – sometimes I don't know. Is it easier to recruit or is it harder to recruit?
Well, you're only seemingly flying or driving places where you actually want to see a kid play in person, because a lot of recruiting now you can do it remotely, but used to be where you're driving all over the place to see everybody, and now this guy, he's probably our number one prospect, but let's go meet him, let's go see him in person now, versus back then you go see everybody.
Right, you get a little more selective.
But I wanted to ask you, Collins, about making all Metro. There's a picture that has resurfaced, and for Dima's benefit, it is a black and white picture, Dima, from 1986. But all Metro, even though, again, it really wasn't a conference at the time, but your picture is there, all Metro, with a couple of guys, one of them named Deion Sanders, who did pretty well for himself, and another guy named Sterling Sharp, who did pretty well as a Green Bay Packer. But word is you didn't really even know that you had made this All-Metro team. Fill in some blanks for us.
That crazy? I did not know when I made and what's even funnier is I made second team my junior year and then first team All-Metro my senior year and didn't know it for years afterwards. I think somebody – I don't know how we got the information, but in fact, I'd forgotten about it. My brother just sent me some Southern Miss stuff that he had kept, dug, and gave it to me. I pulled this out. It was the All-Metro copy of the newspaper article. So that would never happen now, right, with with the internet and everything that happens right now. So,
but now your brother Doug is quite a renowned artist. Yes, and put together the painting is the Marchant. Kenny is was it, the,
Marchant. One of my favorite all time Southern Miss football players. By the way,
but he did that. Your brother did that painting.
He did that painting. It was called Back to Back. It was of the victory in the Liberty Bowl over Pitt. And Marchant is in it. I think Perry Phoenix, Pat Surtain.
Good start.
Great painting. And I think the original is in the athletic department on semi-permanent loan, right?
I think it is, yes.
Yeah, and it's a huge original.
The Polisi Center, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that's right. And that's it's got to be 4x6 or 5x8. It's a pretty big painting.
Now, before you get away, I want to ask you about this because I have to tell you, my two favorite all-time coaches at this university were M.K. Turk and Jim Carmody. And I think Jim Carmody probably doesn't get credit enough for how great a coach he was. Maybe the best defensive coach of his generation. And I covered him as a sports director, and it was challenging at times because he didn't really like the media a whole lot. I learned after I was gone, though, you know, he invited me on the field and he was really nice. But anyway, what was life day-to-day like playing for Big Nasty?
Yeah, he was a – there was not a lot of funny moments on the football field with Coach Carmody. He expected toughness, and he got it. He demanded it, and he got it. And, he created the Nasty Bunch. I mean, let's just be honest. And you know, some of the guys, when he was a D coordinator here at Southern Miss, you'd hear the stories from the younger guys that he was actually even tougher as a defensive coordinator. So maybe he felt he had to mellow out, if you call him mellowing out as a head coach at the time. But the expectations back then for toughness and being a physical football team is probably why we were always defensively so very good.
And now, were you on the team the year that you were playing, I believe it was Ole Miss, and the package arrived with panties in it, and it was a gift for the panty bunch? Is that right?
I think it was Mississippi State.
Was it Mississippi State?
And
were you on the team that year?
Yes.
And it was Can you tell us about that?
It was right before the game, and Coach pulls it out. All right, everybody sit down. We got this package, and I don't know what it is. And I'm sitting there looking at Doug Bolton going, I wonder what the package is. He pulls it out, and he goes, oh, look, it's – and I don't remember exactly how it went down, but we think it's from Mississippi State. They sent us something. He pulls out, and he pulls this thing out, and it's a pair of panties, and it's got Andrew Anderson's name on it. You're like, look, Andrew, Mississippi State sent you a pair of panties. And I'm going, gosh, I hope I get one. I mean, I hope they don't leave me out. He's pulling them out left and right. And ooh. I think Doug got one. He pulls it out and he says, oh, look, it says Colin Sess. I go, right here, coach.
And you still have it to this day.
And I'm kind of laughing. He goes, what's so funny, Hess? Nothing, coach. This is serious business. So it was great.
But that was another side of
Jim Carver.
I will
say this. We did win that game.
Yes, you did. So. But that was kind of unique, was it not? Because he had this image of being this just bare.
It was.
And then
he
does this.
It kind of threw us for a loop. You know, what is happening here?
But no pun intended.
No pun intended. Right. I will say this. One of the most sincere moments with Big Nasty was we were about to play Mississippi. And I think it was the last time we played. I mean, we won the game 13-10 eventually. But it's 11:30 at night. I don't know what day of the week it is. But coaches are coming in and, wake up, everybody. Get up. Coach Carmody wants to see you at 12 o'clock at night. I don't know what time it was, but everybody was asleep. 1 o'clock. So we get into the small everybody on the football team is in the defensive meeting room. And I'll make it quick.
Sure,
anyways, he looked like he was having a rough night. Everybody's squeezed in. He's watching film, and he's not talking to anybody. He's watching film about 4 feet away from the screen, and he is, I hate these son of a guns. And he is passionate and fired up, and he's not talking to anybody but himself. And we're all thinking, what is going on? But it was one of the most passionate moments that I've seen sincere righteous indignation and kind of going through his life. I used to coach there, and I hate these guys. But it was a really unique moment that I'll never forget, and we did win the game. So
a great man and a great coach, right?
Absolutely.
Hey, Collins, thanks, man. Always good to see you.
Always good to see you.
Collins Hess, everybody, the man that made Bo Jackson cry. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, DBAT sponsors the final segment of the Eagle Hour every day, and we're glad they do. A great place to take your children for baseball and softball training. Luke Reynolds, the man himself, can teach your kids how to be much better at their sport. Baseball, softball, DBAT right there on Hardy Street. I want to thank Peter Bain from the To the Top Collective and also Collins Hess for being on the show. But before we let Collins go, Collins, you had something that you wanted to say real briefly, and I want to give you that opportunity.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Well, my brothers Sean and Greg and I, of course, came to Southern Miss, and one of the best decisions we've ever made, just the wonderful people here, and one of what we call Mom Phillips passed away. Barbara Phillips passed away last week, married to Dr. Tom Ray Phillips, who passed away about 8 years ago. But Lisa, Mike, John Allen, and all the kids, Lynn Phillips, and of course Tom that passed away a few years ago, but they are the epitome of Southern Miss, and they're a Southern Miss family. We just wanted to give a shout out to the entire family and blessings to them, and just mention them that, you know, it doesn't get any better. They were, again, like an adopted mom and dad and their family, like brothers and sisters, and we just love them to death. By the way, Peter does a great job. I want to encourage everyone to donate and give to Peter and his organization. It's a fantastic way to help Southern Miss. We just got finished with lunch with Beth Ann Dufour and all the Dufours. But anyways, I'm shouting out to everybody. Who else? Kelly Sanders.
This is not an Oscar win for you, Colin. This is not an Academy Award acceptance.
I do want to say prayers and blessings to the Phillips family and appreciate them and love them all.
Collins, thank you, man.
Oh, did I say Greg and Sean? I'm sorry.
Yes, you already said Greg and Sean.
Yeah. We appreciate you being
known
on
as
show,
the
everybody.
Triplets.
Yeah, thanks, y'all. I appreciate it.
Okay. All right, Tadema, you got some update on softball affecting the Sun Belt.
Yeah, Louisiana softball head coach Gary Glasgow left the program for Texas Tech as the new softball head coach over there in Texas Tech, the Red Raiders. And now, as a result of that, five Louisiana Cajun players have entered the transfer portal in softball.
See, here we
go. See, you have
this is what's wrong with college.
Victoria Valdez, Chloe Rizzetto, Lauren Alfred, SB Sunbelt Newcomer of the Year, Brooks Elstad, and SB and Sunbelt Player of the Year, Mahia Davis.
Okay, so here's the problem, guys. I mean, if the coach wants to leave, fine, but there should be a rule that says the coach can't poach half the damn team and take it with him. They're destroying college athletes.
The Lady Eagles softball team got a transfer from Texas State, so we'll give you more information on her tomorrow. So Everything is fluid now, even in college baseball, Dima. Some of the top programs in the country are making changes.
Yeah, Texas just fired their head coach. That news came out today, and word on the street says that will be potentially Tony Vitello's job for the taking if Texas offers it to him. He'll either be the highest paid baseball coach at Texas or the second highest paid baseball coach at Tennessee. And we should give our picks. Tonight's the national championship game for Texas, Tennessee and Texas A&M in game three. So who you got?
Well, we said Tennessee kind of from the get-go, and even though Tennessee threw their donkey yesterday, I still like Tennessee just from an offensive standpoint.
I like Tennessee.
I do, too. I think the Vols tonight.
And, you know, Bob, if we kind of talked about this a couple weeks ago, if Vitello, and this is all hypothetical, of course, if Vitello winds up going to Texas, the only reason he would go is for the money, which is what, well, you would think on the surface that'd be the only reason he would go is for the money. And remember, this is a guy that a couple of weeks ago said, well, if all players are concerned about is how much money they're going to make, they don't need to be coming here. You know,
so I think if he wins the national championship tonight, he's gone.
You know, I just think it's when your coach is like that and you can't say you shouldn't take the money and then you turn around and take the money.
Practice what you preach.
I'm going to be the devil's advocate with you.
Okay.
He's a professional baseball coach. His players are supposed to be amateur players. There's a difference.
Not any,
no, there was a difference.
I was going to say, not anymore, though.
I don't think
there's
anymore.
Not a difference anymore. Not really a difference. No, there's not a difference anymore.
So we will be following that one closely.
Seriously,
I'm sure
though, the thing about Louisiana disturbs me. I mean, I still think that's right. If you want to leave, that's fine. But there should be something in place that prevents a coach from leaving and taking half the baseball, in this case, the softball team with him. That's just not right.
I mean, personally, I disagree just because I think they should have an opportunity, you know, especially for great players, such as if the Tennessee head coach left, I think every one of those Tennessee players should have an option to go to another school that's not trying to rebuild with a new coach.
Except they're already 25 and 26 years
old.
Yeah,
but you know what I'm saying. I would just push back on that. I think that's why the transfer portal should be in place, actually. Yeah.
So commitment means nothing.
Well, you're committed to the coach. You're committed to the coach and the program, not just the program.
But it really hasn't meant anything for a long time, Bob, especially with coaches. I mean, coaches' contract is worth.
If Christian Ostrander left tomorrow to go somewhere, multiple Southern Miss baseball players would be in the portal.
And you'd be okay with that?
I think they should have the option to, for sure.
Well, that'll be a good subject for another program. More.
Well, we'd love to get Coach Oz on because
we can have a good discussion about that.
Some big news.
Fan Friday. Y'all come on.
There we go. All right. Well, that wraps up the show today. We appreciate our guest being here in the studio with us. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.